This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Mass Golf. Join the Mass Golf community at massgolf.org/play today and start enjoying Mass Golf benefits, including establishing an official USGA handicap online through the Members Now program. Visit massgolf.org/play today and enjoy the game of golf here in Massachusetts.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It speaks for itself. You know, if you're throwing an out route, you don't throw it low and inside. And that hasn't been the case up until that one. You know, it was a little bit late on it and probably a better decision to go somewhere else with the ball.
Meanwhile, Arian's still ripping Brady. Unbelievable, seriously. To your calls with Greg Bedard, Felger, Maz, and Murray here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Bedard on location. Ryan waiting patiently in West Hampton Beach. What do you got, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Felger, let me ask you a question about Cam, because I think this has got the perfect storm brewing in Foxborough. What I mean by that is if this thing starts to go bad, you know, simplistic offense, his inability to check out of plays, you know, he is the ultimate front runner, and adversity is not his strong suit. He could sink that locker room really quickly. On the other side of that perfect storm, if it starts to go really, really well, 6-0, 7-1, there he knows there's cap space and there's money, and Gilmore just got a bump, right? So he's going to start showing up to these post-game conferences with dollar sign suits, dollar sign change, cash is king. This ends in a disaster. Thanks, boys.
Okay, so Greg, do you feel this could be an issue, his contract?
I think in a normal year, maybe. I just think that Cam realizes that if he plays by everybody's rules and he does a nice job, like the future is his. He can write his own check at the end of the season. I have a huge problem with this contract, and I've been writing about it all season. I think it's embarrassing that Cam Newton is making basically like $1.75 million. That Steven Gostkowski's should get cut today, and he's going to take home $2.5 million for the whole season.
Hold on. If Gostkowski got cut today, he'd take home $2.5. If Cam Newton got cut today, he'd take home $1.75 or
$1.75. Yep.
That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
It's embarrassing. And yes, Cam signed the contract. Yes, there's a reason why he signed that contract. For some of it wasn't his fault. If it was non-COVID or whatever, he would have gotten a big deal. But when he signed the contract, it was, okay, fine, I'll compete for the job. Not only did he win the job going away, but he got voted a team captain, something Stephon Gilmore has never been voted here. So I think it would be a good message to not only Newton, I'm just talking about guaranteeing his incentives and maybe, you know, getting him to $6 million base, give him an option with incentives to get to about 10. That's it. I'm not talking about forking over a lot of money, but if he's viewed as such a leader in that locker room that he raises everybody's energy, then do right by him. If you do right by...
Football is finally here, and PropSwap is your home for NFL futures. You'll find the best odds in the country only on PropSwap.com. Kansas City at 7-1, Tampa at 15-1, and New England at 30-1. Make sure to get in right now while the odds are high so you can flip your ticket once it gets hot. Say New England jumps out to a 3-1 start to the season. Sell your ticket immediately on PropSwap for a huge profit. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It speaks for itself. You know, if you're throwing an out route, you don't throw it low and inside. And that hasn't been the case up until that one. You know, it was a little bit late on it and probably a better decision to go somewhere else with the ball.
Meanwhile, Arian's still ripping Brady. Unbelievable, seriously. To your calls with Greg Bedard. Felger, Maz, and Murray here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Bedard on location. Ryan waiting patiently in West Hampton Beach. What do you got, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Felgi, let me ask you a question about Cam, because I think this has got the perfect storm brewing in Foxborough. And what I mean by that is, if this thing starts to go bad, you know, simplistic offense, his inability to check out of plays, you know, he is the ultimate front runner, and adversity is not his strong suit. He could sink that locker room really quickly. On the other side of that perfect storm, if it starts to go really, really well, 6-0, 7-1, there, he knows there's cap space and there's money, and Gilmore just got a bump, right? So he's going to start showing up to these post-game conferences with dollar sign suits, dollar sign change, cash is king, this ends in a disaster. Thanks, boys.
Okay, so, Greg, do you feel this could be an issue, his contract?
I think in a normal year, maybe. I just think that Cam realizes that if he plays by everybody's rules and he does a nice job, like, the future is his. He can write his own check at the end of the season. I have a huge problem with this contract, and I've been writing about it all season. I think it's embarrassing that Cam Newton is making basically like $1.75 million. That Steven Gostkowski's should get cut today, and he's going to take home $2.5 million for the whole season.
Hold on. If Gostkowski got cut today, he'd take home $2.5. If Cam Newton got cut today, he'd take home $1.75 or
$1.75. Yep.
That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
It's embarrassing. And yes, Cam signed the contract. Yes, there's a reason why he signed that contract. For some of it wasn't his fault. If it was non-COVID or whatever, he would have gotten a big deal. But when he signed the contract, it was, okay, fine, I'll compete for the job. Not only did he win the job going away, but he got voted a team captain, something Stephon Gilmore has never been voted here. So I think it would be a good message to not only Newton, I'm just talking about guaranteeing his incentives and maybe, you know, getting him to $6 million base, give him an option with incentives to get to about 10. That's it. I'm not talking about forking over a lot of money, but if he's viewed as such a leader in that locker room that he raises everybody's energy, then do right by him. If you do right by Cam Newton, the other guys in the locker room are going to be like, okay, nice.
So I agree.
All right, here we go.
I agree. I would strongly advise against taking the cheese and committing long term.
Yep.
Doing what they did with Corey Dillon or Randy Moss or one of these guys. No. But if you want to bump them up this year with just a 1 year sort of raise, I think that's totally fine. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that whatsoever. The question is, will he get chippy if he doesn't get it?
Depends how the year goes. I think the caller's onto something there. If they're playing well later on and he's still at the same money, and then he looks back and goes, well, you gave Gilmore $5 million at the beginning of the year. You told me you didn't have any at the time because you didn't. Now you have it. So why not? You know, you had guys opt out. The circumstances change. You can't give me a little more?
Well, let's see. Let's see just
by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I read you a partial list of quarterbacks that make more money than Cam Newton this year?
Go ahead.
Taysom Hill, Marcus Mariota, Nick Foles, Justin Herbert, Case Keenum, Chase Daniel, A.J. McCarron, Andy Dalton, Jeff Driscoll, whoever the hell that is,
ooh,
Colt McCoy, Robert Griffin, Matt Barkley, Matt Schaub.
Wow.
They all make more money than Cam Newton.
Hold on. Did you just say Colt McCoy?
Yep.
He's in the league?
Yeah.
Yep. $2.25
million. Chase Daniel.
A.J. McCarron?
Yep. Another one.
$4
million. I mean, these are just suck backups.
Wow.
Yep. Those are just backups.
All right, so keep an eye on that one. I like it. Stephen Lynn. Go ahead, Steve. Lynn, not Lynn Field. Go.
Lynn Field. Mike, you there?
Yeah, Steve.
Mike, about 10 minutes, Mike. He did an awesome job, Mike, past on Sunday, Mike. He pulled that ball, Mike. He was a ball. Awesome, man. Yeah, it's good, Mike. He's good.
He was really good, Steve. I agree. I do wonder what that fella sounds like when he gets through on the – he calls back there. Whew. I think his friend hands him the phone or something. But Stephen Lynn, he calls all the time. Newton did a very good job, Greg. That's what he said inside of all that.
The call screener
did great.
Not.
Yep.
but I also agree that there were no tight window throws, which I would point out with Brady all the time too. It's like we come out of these games, and it's not that Brady's the best ever. I'm not saying like he sucks, but do you realize how many games that Brady had where he's throwing to Julian Edelman over the middle,
mm-hmm,
and there's no one within 5 yards of the guy. But, you know, Brady is not the only guy, it turns out, who can hit Julian Edelman wide open over the middle.
Yeah, but I do think that – I think a lot of Sunday, and we'll see in Seattle, but I thought a lot of Sunday had to do with the Dolphins. I thought the game plan from Brian Flores and Josh Boyer was complete garbage. I couldn't believe that they came into this game. And they, even their players talked earlier this week about how, yeah, we weren't really prepared for some of that stuff. Like, what? What did you think Cam Newton was going to run? Did you think they were going to run the Tom Brady, you know, shotgun? He's going to survey field, five receivers going down the field? Of course they were going to do that stuff. And they just, they were in man-to-man too much. They made it way too early, easy for the Patriots. And I think Seattle, Pete Carroll, you know, coming out of college at USC, a lot of this stuff is built into his defense, sort of feathering the end, you know, with the read option and all that stuff. So I think they're going to be much better prepared for it. They're much faster. They're much more experienced. They fly to the ball. They got Jamal Adams, who's the best run tackling safety in the game. So I think it's going to be a much tougher challenge on Sunday.
So certainly, I just saw it. I like that first series of the third quarter, Greg, where, yeah, he, you know, Edelman was open, and even the accuracy on some of those, if you really pick it apart, wasn't perfect. All I liked was rhythm, you know, rhythm with Edelman setting the tone on offense. And it's like, that to me is still the, you know, with Brady anyway, the bread and butter of the offense.
Yeah.
Brady to Edelman, middle of the field, possession throws, moving the chains. That to me is just, that's the heartbeat of the offense when Brady was here. And I just like to see that Newton, you know, had that, at least for those series, in his first game. I thought that was a good sign.
Yeah, I thought the big adjustment sort of at halftime was just to increase the tempo a little bit. And that's always been an issue with me with Newton, watching him in Carolina. The play calls are slow. He gets to the line, the ready, everything's too slow. Like, let's get going. Let's take it to the Dolphins and put them on the defensive. And I thought they did that well to open the second half.
So true. The tempo. It's true.
Him and the Patriots have always been great at that, controlling the tempo of the game. Always.
But even the cadence. I mean, Greg's right. I get the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. It's like, snap the ball already, dude. Like, get
that's the way Cam always was, though, with the Carolina Panthers. Yeah.
Yes, it's so true. And it's like, there's no tempo there. And you saw it in that third quarter. Nick in North Attleboro. Go ahead, Nick.
You know, hey, what's up, guys? I'm sick of these Matt and Linfield saying that Belichick's not doing well with his personnel transactions. Anyone who was under Belichick's tutelage and is still in the league now sucks. Joe Judge, loss. Phil O'Brien, non-competitive loss. Brian Flores, non-competitive loss. Matty P, embarrassing loss. Jamie Collins, kicked out of the game. Tom Brady, two picks and a loss. Gostkowski, four missed kicks and I guess a win. Jimmy G, lost to a second-year QB and second-year head coach. I guess you want to get personal, Gronk and Deion Lewis were non-factor. And hey, Jim Murray, do you think Lane Johnson had fun giving up eight sacks to that football team down in Washington? Thanks, guys. I'll hang up.
No, did you forget Gostkowski, too? Did he mention him?
How
do you people live with yourselves? I don't know why this, it really does. It really bothered me last night that there's like these photos going around of sad Matt Patricia in a box with sad Tom Brady and Jamie Collins butting his head into the ref and getting tossed out and Gostkowski missing yet another field goal. Bill wins again. Bill got it right. Like, how come? But then we get blood to death when we dare ever say anything negative about those players when they're here. Like, God, you people sometimes. Jesus, how do you live
children,
with yourselves?
Murray. They're 2-year-olds. A freaking collection of 2-year-olds.
You loved them when they were here, but now they don't have the uniform on. They left us, and we're butthurt about it. Man, Bill got it right. Ugh. Ugh.
Well, the thing about the coaches is different than the players. I mean, the
coaching tree stinks. It's always going to stink.
That doesn't look good for Bill. That looks bad for Bill.
Right.
Correct.
Don't you understand?
Right.
It's like, don't you get it? That, you know, well, I mean, I just only reflects well on Bill that no one else, or it's at least surprising. Not one of these guys? Not one of those guys? I mean, it's one clown after the next. I mean,
yep.
I think this Joe Judge is a complete clown.
Yep.
I mean, I think he's a complete clown. Matt Patricia, which we'll get to, it is a freaking embarrassment.
He's a boob.
Yes.
I mean, he's an embarrassment.
He's a boob.
And it's like,
Flores, who I liked and I thought did a great job with the team, but they stripped down to the bones last year. This performance in week one, I was like, no, never mind.
I mean, it's just so one bag of crap after the next. But the players leaving teams, I mean, I hate to burst the bubble of that caller or any of you like on Twitter that Murray was talking about. Most players who switch teams don't work out for their new one in football. If you just look it up, if you just stack it up and look at what the team does, the player does on his new team versus his old team, especially if it's a free agent or a big name, almost always, they do worse at their new stop than their old stop. It's just the way it is in that sport. Do you think that the LA Chargers are some sort of master magicians, you know, great personnel, like some sort of geniuses?
No.
Because Philip Rivers went to Indianapolis and sucked in week one? Or is it just older guys that go from one team to the next generally aren't as good as they were previously?
Yeah, Anthony Lynn right again.
It's just the way it is. You sign the free agent contract, you generally don't live up to it. It's just the way it is in that sport, frankly, in most sports. But you want to turn it into something else because I guess it makes you feel better, so go nuts.
Felger.
Yeah.
Did those players with the Patriots that left in the offseason, did they just start to suck in this offseason, or maybe they started sucking when they were still with the Patriots?
Yeah, no, they sucked after they left.
Oh, okay.
10 questions with Bedard right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by SwingJuice.com, a fun golf-inspired t-shirt brand for those who don't take themselves too seriously. Check them out at SwingJuice.com. Get 25% off your order with promo code SportsHub25.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, here we go. Again, the states all the way back to the Wiggy days. 10 questions with Bedard, Greg Bedard, around the league. Also some siren involving the Patriots. What, Maz? What? I can't hear you.
It'd help if your mic was on.
Hello?
It is. Now it is. I love this segment.
10 questions, 10 minutes. We got to stay on time, so we have buzzer options, Billy. What do we got today?
I'm drunk. You're gross. Let's go.
Okay. Love it. Perfect.
I'm drunk. You're gross. Let's go.
Turn into a country song next.
Dear Felger, I effing hate you. Next. And I think Maz is a douche. Next.
Hey, better, hey, better, swing better.
That's the Raptors during the playoffs, yep. Mm-hmm.
You know better, swing better. Okay,
next.
You suck.
That's the fans of Kansas City booing racial unity. They're not into racial unity. They don't want togetherness. So they booed the crap out of racial unity. Anything else? Make it rain. Speaking of
classy Felger at the strip club.
Caucasianness. Could you sound more white than that? Okay.
That was spirited right
next,
there.
What do you got? Make it rain. Okay, number 10. What 1-0 team, Greg, do you believe in the least?
The Chicago Bears. I'm sorry. You don't earn any points. I don't care, MVP Mitch, what you did on Sunday. Everybody comes back against the terrible Lions and Matt Patricia. I don't care. You still stink. They stink.
Washington football team. That team blows. Please. It was between them and Jacksonville for me, but I like Gardner Minshew better than I like the clown in Washington. The team formerly known as the Skins. Oh, they suck.
I'm with Greg on this. It's the Bears. They didn't win that game as much as Detroit lost it. They stink. And now they apparently have a mutiny on their hands. I don't know if you've seen this, but the team is putting the front office on blast all over social media today because they're not giving an extension to Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's deleted all the Bears stuff from his Instagram. He apparently wants out, so it's going to be a disaster.
Okay, next.
Boo! You suck!
We don't believe in togetherness in Kansas City. Number 9, which 0-1 team do you believe in the most? 0-1 team.
49ers. It wasn't good. Jimmy wasn't good on Sunday, but that Cardinals team is on the rise. When the Patriots signed Damir Bird in the offseason, I watched a lot of their film, and Kyler Murray is freaking good. That kid is good. He's going to beat a lot of teams this year, and so I think that loss is going to look a lot better later in the season.
Dallas. I still think Dallas is going to be pretty good, and I fall for them every year, I admit it. But there's a lot of talent there. They lost to a good team, opening a new stadium. Like, there was, you know, there's a lot in that game, too. I still think the Cowboys are going to be good.
Indianapolis, if only because I have them as one of my Super Bowl teams, and I'm pot committed.
Take committed. Next.
You know better. Swing better.
Number 8. Who has the most to worry about? The Jets with Sam Darnold, the Giants with Dan Jones, or the Colts with Phillip Rivers?
The Colts, no question. I mean, Rivers is done. They could have had Brady. They could have done a lot. They could have had Cam Newton. They could have done a lot of things, and they went with the corpse of Phillip Rivers. They're done. That team has Super Bowl talent.
I'm with Greg. Indy. I mean, what a mistake. At least the other two teams, you can say those guys are young. There's always a chance for growth, even if it's, you know, and I'm not saying necessarily that'll happen with their existing teams. Rivers cashed.
Darnold and the Jets, whatever upside this kid had, gone. He's been ruined by Adam Gase. He straight up plays like a backup. And there was a play I saw in Red Zone specifically. He's protected. Line played great. Chris Hogan, who's there, I don't even know, he has him wide open, guns it 10 yards over his head. He's a mess. He's on his way to selling insurance. Darnold's done.
And next.
Hey, better. No better. Hey, better. Swing better.
Number 7. After 1 week, what's looking like the best personnel move in the NFL?
The Bengals drafting Joe Burrow, number 1. He was sensational on Sunday. I mean, he drove them the length of the field with no timeouts and threw the game winner before that officiating call against AJ Green. I thought he was outstanding. He looks like the real deal.
I'm going to let Murray go before me because he actually picked the guy that he advised me to pick, and I think it's the right one. Go.
DeAndre Hopkins on the Cardinals, huge factor in that win over the Niners, career-high 14 receptions, obviously a good weapon for Kyler Murray, and he's a great fit for that team.
Cam Newton. He's a quarterback. He gave up nothing to get him. I mean, that could be a huge, huge gain. Huge.
I'm surprised that you did that.
Why?
It's just not like you.
I was going to go DeAndre Hopkins because I couldn't come up with one. And Murray said, what about Hopkins? I went, oh, yeah. And he said, but I'm picking him.
You're giving Bill that win. You're giving Bill that win early.
No. The way you phrased the question was after week one.
What's the best personnel move in the NFL?
After week one.
Okay. Still surprised you did that. Next. And I think Maz is a douche. What's looking like the worst personnel move in the NFL? And if it's Phillip Rivers, you have to pick another one. Go ahead.
This pains me a little bit. The Cowboys hiring Mike McCarthy. It looked no different than Jason Garrett being on the sideline. Conservative offense, terrible game decisions. I don't know what he was studying when he was out of the game, but it looked no different.
Joe Judge. That is going to be a freaking disaster. I don't know if you count that as a personnel move, but I'm going Joe Judge. He blows.
Gronk on the Bucks. He's washed up, should have stayed retired, can't get out of breaks. We talked about it earlier. A 4th-round pick for him is an absolute steal. I wouldn't give you a bottle of cheap tequila for him. He's done.
Okay, next. Dear Felger, I effing hate you. Number 5. Tool bag question. This is a weekly tradition. Week 1 tool bag. Who is the biggest tool bag in the NFL in week 1, Greg Bedard?
Matt Patricia. That was just his quote after the game. Holy mackerel. Please just play it.
Okay, let's play it. So here it is again. So I didn't realize this. The Lions last year blew 7 fourth quarter leads. They lost 7 games last year.
Unreal, right?
When they led in the fourth quarter, like that is a mind-blowing statistic.
It's got to be a record.
7 times they were leading in the fourth quarter and they lost them all. They lost 7 games while leading in the fourth quarter. And then it happened again on Sunday. They were up like, what, 23 to 7? They were up like big.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter in this game and blew that lead. So, of course, finally someone asked Matt, could there be any commonality here? Listen to his answer.
Throughout really your tenure here, you've had fourth quarter leads and lost them. Is there something in your coaching that maybe isn't happening
in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job? So I don't think it's that.
What happened there?
So, yeah, well, that didn't sound right. Try play that again. Did that glitch?
Yeah, it feels like there was a glitch in there. Could have been.
Is there something in your coaching that maybe isn't happening
in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job? So I don't think it's that.
Well, we totally screwed the pooch on that. He says, I have one of the best plays in the history of the NFL, so I don't think it's that.
Tool bag.
Talk about Malcolm Butler.
Tool bag.
What?
I have one of the best plays.
Loser.
Like, he was on the field wearing a jersey and was part of the play. Like, he was Brandon Browner. What an a-hole.
And the other thing is that, as much as he was the defensive coordinator, it wasn't his team. What are you trying to take credit for it now? You a-hole.
Also, seriously, when we that guy's a
clown.
Job.
He's a clown. He's a clown. He's a when clown we, and a boob.
When we saw Do Your Job, they gave Ernie Adams and everybody else. I don't even think Matt Patricia was mentioned when they talked about that play in the Do Your Job documentary.
Oh, the guy is such a douchebag. And I don't mean to be a faddist, but also look at the guy.
Hey.
Look at the guy. I mean, seriously, dude, get a grip. Like, you're a freaking mess. You're a disaster. But to carry himself with that attitude, like, get a grip on yourself and... You know, you should quit is what you should do.
He's done.
Oh, my God.
He's done. That's the first sign of a guy who's done. The ownership sees that and says, see you later. You're
what
done.
A joke. And again, all you baby Patriots fans. Oh, he's wearing the clown shirt. I'm coming off the plane. Wee, look at him. Yeah, Matt. Good one, Matt. Oh, you love this guy. He's a complete loser. A complete loser. Oh, my God.
Most predictable disaster in sports history, him and the Lions.
Freaking Blutarski coaching that team. What a joke, Matt Patricia. Oh, is that bad? Next.
I'm drunk. You're gross.
Let's go.
Okay, number four. Name the coaches in the league you would take over Pete Carroll.
Bill Belichick and Sean Payton. That's it.
So he's third. Maz?
Yep.
Bill Belichick. Andy Reid.
Nope.
Sean Payton.
Yep.
And maybe John Harbaugh.
Nope.
But that's it. I mean, it's three or four max.
I got Belichick and Reid.
That's it.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott or Pete Carroll?
Pete.
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 Doug Peterson or Pete Carroll?
Pete.
Pete.
Well, why? Pete's been coaching forever and he has one title. Peterson's been coaching 3 years and also has one.
Doug Peterson's a clown.
How is he a clown?
That was Frank Reich. Yes, that was Frank Reich.
Frank
the power behind the throne.
Okay, Frank Reich or Pete Carroll?
It's close. I almost put Reich on my list, but Pete's won. Pete's proven more.
Boy, I mean, I don't know. Again,
after year, they're in it. They're a good team year after year.
They overachieved last year. That team should have been a middler. They almost got to the NFC Championship game.
You know who I want to believe in? Is this Nagy in Chicago?
Because
I he's 21-12 with Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback. 12-4. What's that?
Why do you hate the Packers?
I don't get that.
Why are you rooting for Matt Nagy?
I'm not rooting for him. That's not what I meant. I meant like I want to think he's a good coach.
And then he had a nervous breakdown after that Cody Parkey double doink thing. Like he botched that whole thing with special teams last year. He's going to be out in his ass after this season. This is it for him.
How did he have a nervous breakdown after his kicker missed a
easy kick? Went through like seven kickers. He didn't know what the hell to do. He kept like screwing it up week after week, bringing guys in, cutting them. He's a mess.
Well, he's 21-12 with Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback. I don't know. I think that's worth something. I keep getting stuck on that. Mitch Trubisky's his quarterback, and he's 21-12. I don't know how many guys do that. I don't know how many guys figure that out. So I have a hard time moving past that fact. Next.
I'm drunk. You're gross. Let's go.
Number three, what did you make of the OPI on Michael Gallup late Sunday night in Los Angeles? Was that a good call, Greg?
Correct call. He extended the arm, pushed off. Correct call. Absolutely.
In that situation?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't the whole arm locked thing. You can't lock your arm and push off. If you kept a flipper or something like that, okay. Not extending your arm, no way.
I mean, to me, by the letter of the law, it's OPI, but I wouldn't have called it. I'd have let it go. That kind of game, and also it was one-handed, right? It was, two to me is a little bit more, but in that case, like, you got to fight it out. I want the receiver and the defensive back to fight it out on that play. I wouldn't have called it.
No problem with it for two reasons. One, the Cowboys played like ass for most of that game. They didn't deserve that call, and they call it now. They called something like that in the Super Bowl on George Kittle. So I hate the Niners. I hate the Cowboys. I want to be consistent.
Yeah, they didn't call it on Kyle Rudolph in the NFC playoffs.
Well, I'm just going by this week. It feels like the refs kept their flags in their pocket for most of week one. You know, usually the first month of the season is a lot of flags, points of emphasis, yep. Things like this. I think they've scrapped all that this year. I haven't heard of one point of emphasis. I haven't heard of one thing they're cracking down on. I thought just watching across the league, there weren't a ton of flags. I don't know what the numbers show. But I feel like week one, by week one standards, they pretty much swallowed the whistle. So to throw it there, I think, was out of character with the way the rest of week one was officiated. Next.
Make it rain. Number two, best new uniforms in the league and worst new uniforms in the league. Go.
No, I didn't see the best part, but the worst ones are the Rams. With their color schemes are Rams, Royal, Soul, S-O-L, and Bone. That's their color scheme.
That's been my color scheme for years. Oh, the yeah, bone.
No, I love bone
the,
zone.
Yeah, soul and bone.
I love the bone.
Maz?
The best to me was the Chargers. I just love the color scheme in San Diego, and I do like the yellow pants. I'm sorry. I like them. The Rams, I'm also with Greg. I thought those things looked like bad Detroit Lions uniforms. They were awful.
Best? Rams. Helmet is a 10 of 10. The rest of it could use a little bit of work, but that blue and yellow color scheme, I love it. Worst, Patriots.
Okay. Murray's right. Best is a tie. Rams and Chargers, both are great. Oh, my God. I could just look at those, both of them. The Rams I thought I was going to hate. I actually like the new helmet. I think that works.
It's great.
I think it's a nice spin on a traditional logo. It's nice. And I just think the blue and yellow and all the different, like, and it was just sort of gray on white or that off-white kind of thing. I just think it's going to pop with a little yellow trimming in there somewhere. Like, I just think, like, ooh, it's going to be sharp. I think most of the iterations of that uniform is going to be sharp. And the San Diego Charger uniform, outside of one era, and I want to say it was like the Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, the 90s.
Stan
yeah.
Humphries era when they went to where I didn't like their uniforms. Pretty much every San Diego Charger uniform gives me a freaking erection. Like, they're all beautiful.
Yeah, the blue-yellow thing works.
This one, powder blue.
Plus the powder blue.
Powder blue, baby blue, yellow yellow lightning bolt, numbers on the helmet, white mixed in with the blue. And it all works. It all's beautiful.
Too bad the team sucks.
The Rams and the Chargers, great, great, great. The worst by far, the Patriots. Oh, God, he's like a bunch of blueberries running around out there. I can't tell who's who. Like, it's even worse than Greg, I had no idea who anybody was on defense in that game. I had to stop and pull out a roster, or Maz did anyway. I'm like, I can't tell who any of these people are. Bunch of freaking blue men running around out there. God, I hate their uniforms. No contrast. Next.
Boo! You suck!
That's me with the Patriots uniform. Speaking of the Patriots, last question. Would you rather go to Gillette for a Patriots game with 68,000 Patriot fans in all their glory, or no fans? Pick one.
This isn't anything specific to the Patriots, because I'm a type of guy who will go to a movie by myself because I don't like people. So I want to sit by myself in a stands with a bunch of beer around me and be by myself and watch football. That's what I want.
Well, see, this is something specific to this following, because if you had said 68,000 people, I'd have said, I'll take the people. But you said Patriots fans, so I say, no, well, I'll take nobody.
That's who's at Gillette.
Correct. So I'm going zero.
And I say with. Without them, you get no tailgating, and tailgating is everything I live for.
Oh, fat. It's beautiful. Sit alone with all my friends in an empty section of stands, so no one around you, slobbering all over you, spitting on you. You know, none of it. Beautiful. Oh, my God. If they open it up to like 10,000 fans or something like that, I'd finally want to go.
Oh, the last thing I need is to show up down there and have some guy yelling at me. Yeah, how do you like Gronk now? How do you like him now? When did you become a Belichick?
Yeah, Murray's Lane Johnson having fun now.
They lost that game, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no, forget about that. No.
Felger, you should buy your own section. When they do open it up, just buy yourself your own section with your TV money and just sit there and just be Felger.
We're going to call it Section D for Dick.
Thus concludes 10 questions. Back to your phones after Murray's up.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Mass Golf. Join the Mass Golf community at massgolf.org/play today and start enjoying Mass Golf benefits, including establishing an official USGA handicap online through the Members Now program. Visit massgolf.org/play today and enjoy the game of golf here in Massachusetts.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As promised, phones with Bedard. Before I get back to him quickly, I know Greg wanted to weigh in on the Stephon Gilmore contract bump. What were your thoughts on that, Greg? Big boy. Is he no longer there? Billy, is he up?
Oh, we see him on video.
Is he up? Hello, Greg.
Hello.
Hi, Greg.
Oh, there we go. We got you now.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on Gilmore's salary bump?
Well, my thoughts are that if people just think that the Patriots just did Stephon Gilmore solid and gave him a raise, a bonus because he was Defensive Player of the Year, they're living in fantasy land. Gilmore obviously played hardball. I know he played hardball. He wanted more money in the offseason. Step one with Belichick is when you do that, then he gauges your trade market to see if that's an option. There wasn't anything happening there, so it's either Belichick had to decide, am I going to release the best cornerback in the game so he can walk over to Buffalo, you know, all the contenders, the Ravens, the Chiefs, or whoever, or do I bite the bullet and I give him a bonus? And so my tip of my cap to Gilmore for playing hardball, using his leverage against the Patriots, but there is no charity in the NFL. The Patriots just don't give out money and get nothing in return. So good job by Gilmore.
How did his hamstring look to you on Sunday? I was really worried about that.
Yeah, I was super worried. I think that's why he was on the down list. It was that hamstring for all of one day that miraculously healed up.
I would still like to know the whole timeline of it if it ever comes out. Like, when did they look at trading him? Was it all related to, you know, keeping or losing Brady?
Oh, I bet it was around the draft, and I bet it had nothing to do with Brady.
So I'm just wondering, from a money standpoint, what about the Tooney? You know, like, I just wonder.
I just wonder
about the timeline.
I mean, I'm sure it's related in some way, but I think it's all about what they think a player's worth, real money, not cap money, what they're actually going to pay him in real actual dollars, and how good he is, or how much they think he's worth. Or if he busts their balls too badly on a contract, it doesn't matter what their cap situation is, you're gone. Or they'll try and trade you. And if they get value for you, they will. Now, you know, I'm sure they're looking at Jalen Ramsey, 2 first-round picks, right? Or Adams. Didn't Adams get 2 first-round picks?
It sounds right.
Or, you know, yeah. Those guys got really good hauls. So if someone offered the Pats 2 first-round picks for Gilmore this year, I'd take it in a heartbeat, given the kind of season. You know, I think it is still a reset kind of year. So I would take it in a heartbeat. They probably didn't get the two first. I'm sure they didn't get the 2 first-round pick offer.
And then they end up giving them $5 million more on top of it.
So they end up paying them, which I think is fine too. Like, they have the money. I'm okay with that approach too. But I mean, again, if you don't think those things are related, the personal absence in camp and then that hamstring out of nowhere on Thursday. I mean, come on, what do you think's going on there? All right, so back to your phones here, as promised. Aldo and Ludlow on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Aldo.
Hey guys. Mr. Bedard, do you not recall that nobody wanted Cam Newton up until March?
And so this is why you're saying the Patriots are right to keep him at a minimum salary.
Exactly. You keep him. He hasn't proven himself.
Okay.
He has no leverage, like you said, Mike. The other guy, Gilmore, he had leverage. He was probably willing to sit out, right?
Yeah. So I think that's how Gilmore got his money. He threatened to sit out, if not actually sat out. And they just called it a personal absence or a hamstring or whatever. But I actually think Gilmore withheld some services there or was really threatening it and showed the Patriots how serious he was by leaving for a little bit. Cam Newton's really not in that position, so he can't do it. But how about that, Greg? Why should they give him a raise when no one else wanted him?
Because the circumstances have changed. I mean, what if Cam Newton all of a sudden now said, oh, you know, my ankle hurts this week. I don't think I can play. You know, should he use his leverage now that he's the starting quarterback? Should he do what Gilmore did now that he's the starting quarterback?
He was grabbing his hamstring on the way off the field.
Maybe hamstring kind of hurts. Maybe he saw what Gilmore did, and maybe he saw that's the key to getting more money out of the Patriots. But you know, what if we get the midseason? The circumstances have changed. When they signed Cam Newton, he was just here to compete. Cam said, I don't want anything. I'm here to compete. He won the job. He was named a captain. You will not have the same season without him. Just do right by him. Just a little bit. Just guarantee his incentives. Don't be cheap.
Okay, I agree with that, actually. Adam in San Diego. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, how'd you do? How you doing? Did you hear last night when they said future Hall of Famer Steven Goskowski?
Oh my God.
You think that's true?
No, I don't think that's true. There's only one or two kickers in the Hall of Fame as it is. It takes a lot for a kicker to get in the hall. So no shot for that guy. But how about his nightmare last night?
Wow. I mean, it even got to a point where I started to feel bad. I mean, I never want to feel like that. I usually enjoy the schadenfreude, the laughing at the pain of others. And I was up until, what was it, the fourth one? Like, oh my God, dude, like, really, maybe you should have just retired.
He went 2 for 6 on kicks.
Dan and Waltham, would you rather have Steven Goskowski or Nick Folk?
I'd rather have none. I was going to ask you guys, you know, we just talked about the good and the bad of Sunday's game and everything. Recently, the Rebs put a video
of their goalie making a field goal. Now, I want to know what you guys think about the Pats not looking at the Revs.
Yeah, sure. The Revolution kicker, the kid from Assumption that people call us about every time.
Yeah, that guy.
How about the YouTube guy that kicks from, you know, the
70 yards.
Yeah, like whatever, you know, of all this nonsense.
Didn't the Pats have him in?
How about just a guy that can line up and make his kicks, Greg? Is that guy out there?
I don't understand why you guys are so hard on Nick Folk. I mean, the guy did a nice job last year. He missed one kick. Everybody missed their kicks this week. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I think he missed it by like 30 yards.
Oh, my God. It wasn't even close.
It wasn't as bad as Mr. Porta Potty, but it wasn't great. It happens. Whatever.
So I thought Folk was good for him at the end of last year, too. But this was not a good start. One more kick like that, bye-bye.
Bugsy and
kicking his ass out the door.
Bugsy and Boca. Go ahead, Bugsy and Boca.
Hey, gentlemen. Shout out to all the vets. Maserati, great at his job, brilliant, does his homework. Felger, you calling people D-bags, quite the oxymoron. And Murray, you're right in Felger's footsteps. Like, look for the soundbite, no homework, just talking a bunch of smack. You guys are better than that. Maz is the man. Should be a one-man show. Take care.
That's the call? That's one of the worst calls we've gotten in a long time.
Well, I don't know. I kind of like that.
I was going to say, it's good for Maz.
Is this Rome? Did I dial into the Jim Rome show?
I think it was the guy...
Murray, give it to us.
I'm not dancing right now.
I kind of like
Come
Maz.
Come on, he's dance. The show dance for me.
I have no idea what any of you guys are talking about.
Oh, Pharrell on the bench. I thought it sounded a little bit like Pharrell on the bench.
We'll wrap it up with Bedard right after this.
Boston's home for sports. It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Some might look at the way you guys played offensively yesterday and say that looked different in a lot of ways than what we've seen in the past couple decades, and maybe ask the question, how much did the Patriots sort of rip up the playbook and build a new one? How did you, like, is that exactly what happened, or how would you sort of answer that thought?
We always try to do what's best for the team to win. And, you know, everything we've done for the last 20 years, and rightfully so, has been for Tom Brady. It was for Tom Brady. Everything was dedicated to him other than the games that he didn't play in. Like, you know, when Castle played or Jimmy and then Jacoby when Brady was suspended. So... you know, there were times when we had to plan differently, but, you know, when your starting quarterback has things that he's good at or things that you can take advantage of, then I think you try to take advantage of them.
Hey, there's some hidden juju in that comment. What can I tell you? You can move with different quarterbacks, play different styles for different quarterbacks. Now there's just another quarterback. Now 15-6 since Tom Brady took over. So since Belichick became Belichick. Okay, Belichick became Belichick, Super Bowl 36, the 2001 season. That's when he sort of acquired that special aura and was able to draw players here, and the program started. 11-5 with Castle, 3-1 with Garoppolo and Brissett, now 1-0 with Newton. He's 15-6 without Tom Brady. And don't you think he looks at it that way?
Sure. Of course he does.
Brady's not the only quarterback I can win with. Here we go. I'll mention them all. And in case you forgot, the reason we went to Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett was why, Billy? I'm sorry, why?
When Brady was suspended.
Oh, that's right. He was suspended for cheating, for deflating footballs. Just to remind everybody. I love that little thing. Like, boy, he'll bring that up. He doesn't have a problem. Brady. You know, you ask Bill anything. It's like, you know,
that was in the past.
What happened in the past doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is this week. But he'll happily remind you Tom Brady was suspended.
When Brady was suspended.
I just love it. Like, oh, man. I mean, Bill, please.
He's such a little dig. How come he never brings up Spygate?
It's like, you know, we've had on some good draft, you know, we've had some good draft picks, some bad draft. Well, 2008 when I lost it for cheating, he never seems to mention that one, does he? He doesn't mention the first round picks he's lost, but he'll happen. He's going back over the previous quarterbacks and telling the game plan for him, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby, that year that Tom Brady was suspended, in case you forgot he was suspended.
When Brady was suspended.
I love it. Good job, Bill. Don't let it go. None of you let it go. But anyway, I just love that cut. I think it's how Bill approaches it. And I, you know what? I think he's right. You know, and you know how I feel about this. This is why I said before.
He's right to a degree.
Cam Newton gets hurt and Stidham or Hoyer had to come in. I think they'd still win with those guys. Not at a super high level, but they'd win. But they'd win. And they'd still look like the Patriots. And I think the thing would still keep going. And that's just how I feel about it. Newton obviously gives him a higher ceiling, I think, you know, with his talent. Certainly. But, okay, Greg, before we let you go, thoughts this week?
Okay, one quick thought. What do you think Giselle thought about Arians treating Brady like Johnny effing Tampa publicly?
effing Johnny Tampa.
Effing Johnny Tampa.
on Seattle. The N'Keal Harry Bowl. N'Keal Harry versus
DK Metcalf.
Yeah, Metcalf.
DK Metcalf on the outside. So we get to see that. They were very impressive against the Falcons. Very fast front seven. Of course, they still have KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, now Jamal Adams. If there's any defense that's going to give Cam Newton in this Patriots offense a tough time, it's this defense.
Okay. I want to see the coaching. Okay. And I asked you before, what coach would you take before Pete Carroll? On all your lists, he was either second or third in the league, maybe fourth. Like, you know, it's Bill and then maybe you'll take Andy Reid ahead of him. Maybe you'll take John Harbaugh ahead of him. Maybe you'll take Sean Payton ahead of him. But there's no one else. So that he's no lower than that. So he's consensus one of the best coaches in the league. Is he going to let Cam Newton run down his Schmenzer like Brian Flores did? He has the tape now. He knows what Newton's capable of. He knows how the Patriots want to play it and can play it. And I feel like defending the Patriots is so obvious to me. You flood the box. You don't let Newton run. And you man up on Julian Edelman. You put extra attention on Edelman. And you force Newton to throw the ball to anyone other than Edelman. That's the game plan. Like, isn't it simple?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it is. And look, again, I think that overall, though, that Pete's strength is defense. Like, if you were telling me this were Andy Reid this week, I don't know.
See, I don't think Pete's strength is turning his guys loose on defense. Is he a master schemer on defense? He runs the same defense every week, right, Greg?
Yeah, same defense. Yep, cover three.
So it's like he doesn't change it up for the opponent. It's not, he doesn't game plan. It's just like, all right, guys, go get him. You know, I mean, that's all it is. And he's good at that. He's good at identifying guys that will, you know, flow to the ball in his defense and attack in his defense. And then he runs his defense. But he doesn't game plan the thing.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's a master tactician, but I also think there is a knack for identifying guys that are working your defense.
So he's good at that.
Yeah, and I think that they play for him pretty much every year. So now, look, they gave up some passing yards to the Falcons, but I don't know. That doesn't mean a lot. Do you think the Patriots are going to throw a ton?
I want to see an opponent force them to, and then I want to see what Newton has.
Okay, so if that happens, I think that'll work to Seattle's advantage is what I'm saying. So, I hear you. I'll believe it when I see it, too, because at the end of the day, I think the league is stupid.
They just can't let Newton waltz around the end untouched like he did on Sunday. That is so. Let's see what Pete has. Let's see if he has half a clue.
I mean, it's a real opponent, right? It's a real opponent.
So, to me, the fear is Russell Wilson. Like, I don't fear Pete. Something tells me we're going to look at him and go, dude, did you watch the film last week? Like, I feel like I'm going to be doing that. Russell Wilson, badass. Winner, ball in his hands at the end of the game. Watch out.
I wonder if Gilmore gets Metcalf or if they zone it up. I don't know. Are they going to zone it up in this game?
Greg, final thought. I'm sorry. We've been yakking.
No, I don't really have one.
Okay, it's 4:02. He's punched the clock. He's out.
Oh, yeah, no, he was out 2 minutes ago.
Yep, Greg, thanks.
You guys just kept talking.
Yeah, so. No, it's all right. Fine. Thanks for chiming in, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you, boys.
See you, big boy.
Yeah, you're all lined up. We will get to you, but I do want to introduce some Celtics stuff. Because they begin their Eastern Conference Finals tonight against Miami Heat here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So we'll give you some Celtics thoughts. We'll mix that in with our football conversation. And we'll get back to you right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Mass Golf. Join the Mass Golf community at massgolf.org/play today and start enjoying Mass Golf benefits, including establishing an official USGA handicap online through the Members Now program. Visit massgolf.org/play today and enjoy the game of golf here in Massachusetts.